there, everybody, and welcome to Caffeination 180, the 180th edition here at the Caffeination Podcast. We'd like to welcome back all of our new and returning listeners. Welcome all of our new and welcome back all of the returning listeners. Hopefully everybody out there is having a good weekend. Ours has been a little bit weird, as you might imagine. If you follow my Twitter stream, you know some of the stuff that's been going down. I had a recent root canal as of yesterday, still on some of the pain meds, hence the altered reality or altered perception. What the heck did I call this episode? Altered state. Yeah, that makes much more sense. And hence that little thing here. We're kind of just flying by the seat of our pants right now. This is, like I said, it's episode 180. This is being recorded on 11/11/2007. Happy Veterans Day to everybody out there. A great big thank you from the bottom of my heart to all those who served and gave their life and served and gave their time to help make our country what it is today. Specific thank you out there to all my friends who are currently in the military, specifically to Stefan and Carl. So thanks, guys. All right. We have a bunch of stuff we're going to talk to you about today. On today's show, you're going to hear anything and everything about coffee, technology gone wrong, hitmen, music, and some pills. Mostly the pills that I'm currently on, but still. Man, it's so weird trying to do a show like this and like trying to dig through the fog to actually get to what I wanted to talk about. All right. The Caffeination is a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. You can find all the member shows over at techpodcasts.com, where they've agreed to create child-safe, family-friendly, and educational content. So we're going to be showcasing some of those podcasts in the upcoming weeks around here. Some of those and the other ones that are actually on my iPod. Just wanted to give you kind of a heads up. I'm going to be writing a little bit of an article about things that I like about some of the other podcasts. Going to give some people some more press, hopefully spread the word about some of the lesser-known, some of the greater-known, you know, just in general. Hopefully I'll be able to let you know about some of the ones. Recently we talked about the Geek Label Radio podcast. Up next actually is going to be a couple of admins podcasts, and then we have some other ones down the road that are all currently in my iPod, all currently being listened to at one point or another, and hopefully you'll find them as interesting as I do. Alright, we're also a proud member, by the way, of Blueberry, the Blueberry Podcast Network. That's over at BLUBRRY. That's Blueberry without the E's. It's a social podcasting network, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. It's a community involving listeners, involving producers, the whole nine yards. It's a really cool thing to head on over there and check out. Let's see. If you'd like to get into contact with us, or if you'd like to find this episode is nestled lovingly over at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. If you'd like to get into contact with us, there's a whole bunch of contact information over at that very same website, caffeination.com, or you can just email us at caffeination@gmail.com. I'd like to thank everybody who's been checking up on some of the other stuff that we're doing, on some of the other things that we're trying here. We've tried out some fun stuff over at the Traveler's Mug, which is my personal blog. We'll be getting to that in a little bit. And first off, we're going to talk to you a little bit about the some PodSafe music that's going to be hitting right after the promo for our sponsor here. We're going to also that one's from over at the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com. I got to collect my thoughts before I start talking. I usually just do it seat of the pants, but this is just weird. It's like I know what I want to say, but it's just not coming out correctly. So this is going to be a strange episode. I'm just going to give you a little forewarning there. To give you a little bit of a rundown on what exactly happened this weekend, the boy was actually sick on Friday, so much so that we had to actually call out of work. It was a really, really scary time, just because, you know, we're new parents. I understand that. I understand that a lot of other people, you know, may have had these problems before, but my wife had asthma very bad when she was younger. So when Paul woke up on Friday morning, it didn't sound like he could breathe. He's been a little bit sick the past week, but this really scared both of us. So we had to put a call into the doctor, call him out of daycare, call both of us out of work. Because, I mean, I would have been worthless if I had gone in. Just so scared. He had a little bit of a fever. So we head in, and it turns out he has a respiratory infection, ear infection. Whole nine yards is going wrong with him. So we wanted to I wanted to make sure everything was right. He's on a nebulizer and all other kinds of fun stuff right now. And then the very next day, I had to have my first root canal ever. Terrified, absolutely terrified beforehand. And the doctor I went to, the endodontist I went to, rather, was a fantastic, fantastic gentleman. So thank you very much, doctor. It was... It was so much easier than I thought it was going to be. I didn't feel an absolute thing except for the initial needle. So fantastic. Got to go back in for a little checkup in 2 weeks. But right now, the entire side of my head's kind of, you know, more than a little bit of pain at times. So hence the medication and hence the altered state, as it were. Enough babbling about that. We're going to talk to you a little bit about our sponsor here today. The Caffeination is sponsored in part by GoToMeeting. Do you spend more time traveling to meetings than you actually do meeting with the people that you want to see? If your time is valuable, and hey, whose isn't, then you need to visit GoToMeeting. With GoToMeeting, you can instantly meet with anyone. All you need is your PC and an internet connection. During the meeting, your attendees will see their computer screens show up on your PC. It's like you're all in the same room. Plus, it's totally interactive. You can all work together to make changes to a report, add slides to a presentation, even so show someone how to fix their computer. Think of the time you'll save in general. No more flying or to a meeting. No more, you know, having to schedule something months in advance because nobody's schedule links up, just due to the travel time. Plus, you can hold as many meetings as you want for one low flat rate. This is a real money saver. The next time you're waiting in line at an airport, you'll wish you could meet someone online instead. Just visit GoToMeeting.com and sign up for your free 45-day trial. For this special offer, just visit GoToMeeting.com/podcast. That's right, GoToMeeting.com/podcast. Try GoToMeeting free today. We'd like to thank GoToMeeting for being a continued sponsor here at the Caffeination Podcast. They've been nothing but nice to us, and so we'd like to thank them for all the stuff they do to us, or do for us around here, and everything else that has worked out over the past couple months. We've been sponsored by them since November of 06, so this is a lovely long-term relationship with a very good product. So, all right, we're going to head right on into the PodSafe music here. This is a favorite here at the Caffeination Podcast. This is from one Jonathan Colton. It's a song which kind of really sinks its teeth into the way I'm feeling right now. It's called I Feel Fantastic. It's all about pills and everything else that's crazy in life in general. So hopefully you'll find this one fun. It's a short little ditty. So if you'd like to check out more of Jonathan's music, and hey, I really suggest that you should head on over to www.jonathancolton.com. That's JonathanColton.com. Or you could head on over to caffeination.com and click the link that says Jonathan's website. It's right in the show notes. All right, again, here's Jonathan Colton from the PodSafe Music Network, music.podshow.com, with his song, I Feel Fantastic.
Get up early when the sleeping pill wakes me. I take a wake-up pill to fill with energy. I power on hard and I check my messages. But I don't have any messages. I take a driving pill and head to my car. I drive around it because work isn't very far. I call my phone and I check my messages. But I don't have any messages. All I know is driving on drugs feels better when they're prescription. All I know is the world looks beautiful. The world looks so damn beautiful. I feel fantastic. And I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think about what I felt that day. When I felt the way that I do right now. Right now. I feel fantastic. And I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think about what I felt that day. When I felt the way that I do right now. Right now. Right now. Work is anything but quiet these days. I try to mitigate my concentration haze. I can see the day unfold in front of me. So I take the stairs and hit the gym. The phone is ringing when I get to my desk. What was the sting? It's now a sharp pain in my chest. So I take a calm and next and just chill. And then it's time for lunch again. All I know is work is easy when you don't stress out about deadlines. All I know is I take my medicine. I always take my medicine. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think about what I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do
right now, right now. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think about how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now, right now.
I can't stay to work late. Gotta leave and get ready for my second date with a pretty girl and a man at the pharmacy. Writing the prescription line, I take a pill for my social anxiety. I get a table and a nice bottle of Chablis. Now it's getting late and there's still no sign of her. I have another glass of wine. All I know is the wine lasts longer when you don't gotta share it with someone. All I know is the steak tastes better when I take my steak tastes better pill. Fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think about how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now. I feel fantastic, and I never felt as good as how I do right now. Except for maybe when I think about how I felt that day, when I felt the way that I do right now, right now, right now.
All right, again, that was Jonathan Colton from the PodSafe Music Network with his song, I Feel Fantastic. Hopefully you do as well. the song always gets to me. A lot of his stuff, really, really intelligently done, really, really pithy and witty in the background. I mean, it has a very good musicality to it, just in general. And then when you really start digging into the lyrics, it's fantastic. To overuse a word, but he's actually my hero in one aspect of it. He used to write software. He used to be a man tied to his desk and everything. Now he makes his living off his music. I just think that's fantastic. All right, knock it off. I just think that's awesome. I think that's unbelievable that he was able to make that jump. He was able to you know, take that separation and create stuff just as good as it is. So if you'd like to support him, you can head on over to his website. You can buy his songs and his CDs and everything else like that. Believe me, there has to be more left in this man's tank. There's just so much cool stuff that he has out there. So really, seriously, head on over there and check out some of his stuff. All right, we have a great amount of tech for you today. A little bit of caffeine, then we'll head you on your way. This is not going to be a massive show, hopefully, unless I babble it into one. This is one of those shows where... I have an obligation to give you the best possible show out there. So I'm going to do it, and the only way that I realized that I was able to give you the best possible show is to cull it down, to trim out the fat, so to speak, some of the stuff that's, you know, just like a one-off, like, oh yeah, this is kind of fun, then you move right on. No, this is all really good meat and potatoes kind of stuff here. The first thing we have here in the tech section, man, I should be able to know this stuff, is a fun little article from over at ArsTechnica.com. Apparently, if you remember way back when, you set your Wayback Machine to somewhere around 2005, when Grand Theft Auto San Andreas came out, Take-Two, the company that published the game, and Rockstar, the company that developed the game, had a bit of a problem with some of the software. It was called the Hot Coffee mod, which is one of the reasons that we find it fun to talk about. But apparently there were some illicit things that were able to be done within the game framework itself if you modified the code of the game. So a lot of people got up in arms about this. It was pulled out of the shop. People started suing, which I think was riticulous. We are way too litigious of a society for this kind of thing to go on. But just complete screwed up. There's no other way to say it. They did admit to putting the content in the game to allow you to access it. You had to do all kinds of fun little tricks here. But apparently people were suing for mental anguish. You know, that they were offended by the fact that if you did modify the game code, it could do things that it didn't say that it could, which is a really strange way of putting it. But I like the decision that's coming out right here. I like the idea of what the judge is trying to do here. So basically, the proposed settlement that's being put out on the table, you have to have met these four qualifications. First of all, you have to have bought a copy of Grand Theft Auto San Andreas, obviously, but before before July 20th, 2005. So it's a little bit late if you'd like to get in on this obvious payday. Secondly, you have to write a statement which basically says, you have to sign a sworn affidavit which basically says that you were offended and upset by the ability of consumers to modify and alter the game's content using third-party hot coffee, using the third-party hot coffee modification. It's a very precisely worded statement which basically says you were offended by other people being able to change software. Third thing, you would not have bought the game had you known that consumers could modify and alter the game content using third-party hot coffee modification, thereby upsetting yourself. But then the fourth thing, it says you would have returned the game upon learning the game could be modified and altered if they thought this was possible. All right, so basically through that whole rigmarole, you'd expect, you know, all right, they're going to be giving people thousands of dollars for mental anguish. I mean, you know, God, your kids could have seen this or something like that. But no. What it actually means is you get $35, which is a little bit less than the probable cost of the video game. Now, I like this because all it's doing is saying, okay, fine. We realize that there may have been something that you probably didn't want in the game. By swearing all of this stuff here, you would not have purchased the game to begin with, given the knowledge that was already put out there. So if you would not have purchased the game, we would like to refund you the purchase price of the game, which is a very fair and valid thing. There should be no other suit here. There should be nothing saying, oh, you know, I was offended, you know, deeply hurt by the fact that somebody else could modify software. That's software, like, when you really break it down, that is software's function. Software's function is to be modified, or not really, but I think you know what I mean. Software, by its very nature, is a transient construct. Yes, there is something known as a final build, but when you really look into it, if you were to really dig into almost any game that's on the market, if you use third-party tools, that basically means it's not you, and it's not the developer, so it's not a second or first party here. This is somebody outside the loop who modified the software to do something that the developers did not originally intend. So, when you think about it, it's like, okay, who's really at fault here? Why is nobody suing these supposed third parties? And again, you know, it's like, why are parents suing the company when they should be, you know, taking it out on the kid? You know, it's like, why would you do this? You know, it was not a very gratuitous scene to begin with. It was a stupid scene, so I don't even understand. I understand parents saying, oh, okay, well, all right, given the availability of these tools, given the fact that my son or daughter is very impressionable, maybe I just won't give them the game. Yeah, but then again, you take it one step further. Given the nature of the game itself, which was already rated M, so nobody under 17 should have bought this game. But the fact that you walk around, you can beat cops, you can shoot and kill cops, you can do anything with ladies of the evening, so to speak. There's all these different aspects of the game that make it not a very family-friendly title. I mean, this isn't, you know, the newest version of Trivial Pursuit that has some kind of dirty content, you know, in the middle of it. This is a mature game that had slightly more mature content than you would have wanted if you modify it. It's ridiculous. All right, moving right along. Hey, if you'd like to comment on any of this stuff, please feel free to send me an email. Please feel free to comment on the episode itself. I'm really digging the amount of community involvement we've been getting on some of the stuff I've been doing. A lot of great emails coming in about different things. Second up here, we have Walmart is apparently sold out of their ultra-efficient $200 Linux PC. I'm really happy about this. I mean, not the fact that they're sold out, because, you know, I actually would have bought one if I had the funding available. This just seems to be a great idea. First of all, it's running a type of Ubuntu Linux, which I think is a fantastic distribution of Linux as it is. Basically, they're saying you could buy an entire system. You know, I think sans monitor. I don't know if it actually has a monitor there. But you can buy an entire system for less than a copy of Microsoft Office, which is great. This is, you know, this is the revolution that needs to take place. I mean, yeah, I know Dell's been breaking down the barriers recently, but that's not what I'm really talking about. I'm not talking about the price barrier. While, you know, yes, it is very attractive to have a $200 fully functional PC right out of the box. But the thing is, you know, Windows is so bloated, it needs so many resources that it causes machines to be more expensive. So, you know, if you were going to build a machine that is capable of running Windows XP, you build it to a certain price level. Let's just say a minimally capable machine that allows you to go online and everything like that. You're probably going to end up spending anywhere from, if you're going to build it yourself, let's just say $700 to $1,000 for a machine that does not make you feel like you're waiting. You know what I mean? Like the minimally acceptable machine to most people. If you're going to build the same style of machine for Vista, you're going to be spending anywhere from $1,400 to $2,000. I mean, it's a very wide swath of area, I know that. However, for the exact same PC, if you were to build it for Linux, you could probably spend around $300 to build the machine yourself. Now, this is with, you know, retail pricing on everything. This is, you know, obviously hardware vendors such as Dell, HP, Compaq, et cetera, can get the prices on the parts much, much lower. They're all standardized, so they can order them in bulk, et cetera. So, you know, they can build things for a lot less than I would be able to, for instance. However, when you really look at it, it's very eye-opening. It's like the same style of machine, all I want to be able to, for instance, if you give it to the standard grandparent, or whatever out there, all they really want to be able to do is get online, pay their bills maybe, be able to type up a paper and print it out. I mean, there's very limited functionality when you really think about it. They don't want to have to worry about viruses. They don't want to have to, you know, they don't necessarily need the end-all and be-all. Not everybody's going to use it as a media hub for their house. I mean, I would do those kind of things. But then again, you know, I also would love to have Linux running in the house as one of the native machines. But still, I mean, the barrier for entry here is way too high for what people are expecting. So kudos to Walmart for actually putting this out there. Hopefully they'll get some more in. Kind of fun to think about that. All right, next little thing that we have up here, just a mention of the article that I recently wrote called Let Your Geek Show. It's just another one over there at caffeination.com. Basically, it's an extension of a topic that I heard over at Geek Label Radio, which is over at geeklabel.com. Ding. /podcast. It's a fantastic show. It's all about it's hosted by three gentlemen usually who are probably the geekiest people that I've ever heard on a podcast. They have a very good tone and resonance to it. I think at least one of them, I think the vicar probably actually is in radio production, so they do it upright. You know what I mean? My show, I'd like to think it sounds pretty good, but it's nothing compared to the level of sophistication some of their shows just seem to have. Just a word of a note, they are not necessarily a purely G or PG rated show. I rate them PG-13 just because there's an off word sometimes thrown in there, a little bit of an S-bomb every once in a while. It's just casual conversation between a bunch of consenting adults, let's just put it that way. So every once in a while you might get a small profanity slip, but heartily recommend you head on over there and check that out. The article that I wrote is going to be somewhat indicative of the articles that will be written in the future about some of the other podcasts that I'm listening to, so hopefully you'll find some of them interesting. All right, next little thing we have up here is Jot. One of our listeners and a friend of mine actually tried to give me an invite to Jot before. It's J-O-T-T. Never got the invite. It never actually went through to the service, so I wasn't able to actually give it a shot. To give you the long and the short of it, what it is it's a phone number you call. You call up the phone number, you speak in a normal tone of voice, and it does what you tell it to. So basically, if you call up and say Twitter, if you have it set up in your account, then you talk, it will Twitter for you. It will give updates for you. If you'd like to check it out, you can head on over to twitter.com/caffeination. Anything that says Jot on it, I posted by dialing 1-866-JOT-123, and it came out usually pretty good. I have a tendency to slur some of my words together. I usually speak very quickly. I've had to slow some of them down. You can actually, and in each one, it actually has a link to the audio file, so you can actually hear it. I've also been posting to my personal blog using Jot over at travelersmug.com, so you can check that out as well. So far, it's a very, very, very positive experience I've had. So if you'd like to Twitter while you're on the go, don't text and drive, very bad. You can just, you know, program this into your phone, give it a call. It automatically links up with your phone, says, who do you want to Jot? So you could either write an email to somebody, a short little message, or missive. You could post to a blog. You could do all kinds of crazy cool things. I think it hooks up to Jaiku. It hooks up to Twitter. It hooks up to Blogger. I mean, it's just a serious amount of social networking availability right there. So great stuff. Head on over there and check that out. All right, next little thing we have up here is one of those crazy stories that you wouldn't believe it unless it was true, and it is. Apparently, I'm just going to give you the long and the short of it here. A boy hires hitmen to kill his parents after they grounded him. Yeah, so his parents grounded him, took away his PlayStation, his TV, and probably a lot of his pride. So 16-year-old Corey Ryder took it. He decided to throw down here. He decided to take it to the next level, as they say over at Engadget. He actually was wandering around the house making threats, and his parents got a little worried. So rather than, you know, doing what most parents of at least people my age would probably be doing, you know, tuning the kid up or, you know, punishing him even further, they decided to call the cops on their own son. Well, so one of the cops posed as a hitman and somehow introduced himself to the kid, and the kid went into a couple rounds of quote-unquote negotiations and eventually promised his father's truck to the guy if he offed both of his parents. How seriously twisted do you have to be as a child to want to kill your parents? I mean, actually go... Everybody, I'm not going to say everybody, but it's quite common to hear, you know what, I wish you were dead, I want to kill you, that kind of thing could easily pass in a heated argument, but you would hope it wouldn't continue. So it's disturbing on one end because you're like, wow, this kid didn't just say it and then, you know, like, oh, I hate you, and then the next day, kiss and make up. No. He actually went through the motions of attempting to hire a hitman. The only thing that you have to really think about it is, he was failing school, so his parents confiscated the hitman, starts making threats around the house. Then all of a sudden, magically, a hitman shows up and says, hey, yeah, you want me to kill anybody for you? Just say the word and give me a truck or something, and we could do this. And he says, you know, doesn't seem to connect point A and point B. I guess he just thought, you know, luck smiled on him, and he was going to off his parents and get his PlayStation back. Yeah, great idea, buddy. So... Yeah, so that's that little story. I don't really know what to say about it. I mean, I don't have a teenager yet. He's very far below teenager. I know that I was in no way shape or form an easy kid to have as a teenager for, but still I don't think that I would ever stoop to this level. This is a serious tweaked mental capacity on this kid. There's a couple wires loose, maybe a nut missing. You know all those parts that after you put something back together that you have extra? That's what's wrong with this kid, that they did it a couple times, you know what I mean? All right, next little thing we have up here is actually one of the coolest things I've seen in a while. Apparently, the pilots for the RAF, the Royal Air Force in the UK, are working on this new state-of-the-art technology. It's called an X-ray visor helmet. Has the strangest looking picture on it that I have ever seen. It does look a little bit reminiscent of something we had talked about here before. If you click on the article, Separated at Birth, apparently one of the gentleman, Troy, what's that guy's last name? Troy Hubertese made a bear suit, which looks a lot like Master Chief from Halo, which looks a little bit like this fighter pilot looking helmet here. So there's all derivations of the same concept. But apparently what this thing is capable of doing is looking around objects. So basically being able to see through a plane that's flying across the sky. I don't even know how it works. I don't even know how to explain it. All I know, it's really cool and it's really freaky to actually look at the picture. To describe it a little bit to you, take a normal fighter pilot mask, you know, like you've seen in Top Gun or something like that. Add a helmet to it. All right, now you got that. Where the eyes are, close it off with an entirely encased shield. So it's an entire piece of smoked glass. Now, if you were able to see the gentleman or lady's eyes through this thing, imagine they're glowing bright green right now. Okay, you have the vacuum cleaner hose going up to the mask to obviously for pressurized gases and high G forces and all that. And then the strange thing about the entire thing, besides, you know, the whole glowing eye thing here, is that on either side of the helmet, on where I guess horns would be, there's like canisters stuck into it. I don't know what they do, I don't know what their purpose is, but they're definitely not aesthetically pleasing. So the helmet is currently being tested alongside the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, which is the replacement for the Harrier jet. So cool stuff coming out of the United Kingdom here. There's all kinds of fun things happening out over there. All right, moving right along here, we have, like I said, we have all kinds of fun things to talk about. Last little bit of tech news. Second to last little bit of tech news, and then we're going to head on into our last little caffeinated bit here. Music is everywhere. Apparently a noted musician from Italy has decided to superimpose the musical staff across the picture of Leonardo da Vinci's Last Supper. Then using the placement for the hands and different key objects throughout the table setting there, he was able to deduce a 40-second long piece of music. And it's very strange to think about it, but imagine if there was a hidden key within the painting. Now, we're not talking like, you know, Da Vinci Code style stuff, but he took all the different key signatures, like I said, hand placement, bread placement, pictures, and all that other stuff, and somehow through different key notes in the rest of the painting, he determined spacing and time and duration for everything else, and it didn't make sense when he played it from left to right. However, he then imposed Leonardo's own proclivity towards mirror writing and then went from right to left. If just a small aside here, but if you've ever looked at any of the manuscripts, or specifically the Vitruvian Man, the one where it's two different positions for the arms and two different positions for the legs, it's commonly used. It's also looks like somebody in the midst of making a snow angel while naked, but there's a bunch of script on it, and even if you know Italian, the only way to read it is to go from right to left. Apparently, I don't know all the reasons why. Apparently, this is one of the ways Leonardo decided to keep his notebooks secret, was because he was the only person who knew how to do it. I also think it's actually mirrored, so in order to read it correctly, you would actually have to look at it in a mirror. So that must be a really crazy trick here. Now, I don't know if this guy, like, it seems like this guy's stretching. And I doubt seriously that Leonardo, you know, sat there and say, oh, okay, well, you know, obviously, you know, if I want my 40-second piece of music to come out correctly, Jesus' hand needs to be on the table as opposed to raised in the air. The picture on the right needs to be here. I mean, there's certain other things you could take from the painting. You know, you could go deep within the art history and say, you know, this is indicative of the different pieces of symbolism can be pulled out of the painting. For instance, again, from the Da Vinci Code, you know, the opposing views of the male and the female, and, you know, the fact that on his right hand could have been Mary Magdalene. I mean, there's so many different things you could take from this painting. I think the music is more than a bit of a stretch, but hey, it's kind of fun to think about. I haven't been able to find a recording of it yet or anything, but it's just kind of fun to think about. Very heavy overtones to the whole article. I heartily recommend you give it a shot. It's from over at CNN.com. Alright, the last little bit of information I wanted to talk to you about was actually, like I said, I think I've been talking about this a little bit before, but the wife and I decided for Christmas what we were going to get each other, or what we were going to look for, was the Nintendo Wii. Now, we already have the Xbox 360, but she's not a very avid gamer, so she would like to try the Wii, and she thought it would be pretty cool. So we've been looking for it, and unbeknownst to me, this was apparently the hot item this year. So I've gone out now 3 weekends in a row trying to find this thing, and I just know. I know this for a fact, that some of those little snot-nosed kids at some of those places, for instance, Best Buy, yes, I'm calling you out, and Circuit City, I'm calling you out as well, are holding these things off to the side. And GameStop, I've seen it happen. I actually saw a Wii in the case and said, oh, is that a Wii? He said, oh, no, that's not. That's a display box. Really? So you just get boxes for these things into display? Every other place, every other time I've been into the store, it said, you know, there's a little sign there when the empty shelf said, sorry, the Wii's are out of stock. I just know these little rats are selling them on eBay or doing something stupid like that. So I went out this morning at 7 a.m. and managed to luck upon a pulled up to one of the places, and you can actually head on over to twitter.com/caffeination and check out my little journey this morning. Went to Walmart, nothing. Went to a second Walmart, nothing there. Was driving by the Target and saw a line of people. If there's a line, there must be a reason for it. So I pulled up and actually got a number. Didn't even know they were giving them out. I'd like to thank gentleman number 12. Don't know what your name is. Neshaminy Target. I was sitting there. I said, oh, well, so why does everybody have these numbers? Is this a pre-order? Did you already pay for it? The guy went over to get the woman who had the numbers as she was heading back into the store and said, this guy over here didn't get a number. Could you give him one? She handed me number 35, which turned out to be lucky for me, because they weren't selling them to anybody unless they had the number until after 9 o'clock. So I would not have gotten a Wii at all, and now we have one. It's going to be from my parents, so thank you very much. That's going to be fantastic. They have it at their house now to prevent me from opening it up and playing with it and packing it up there again. So it should be kind of fun. I know Santa's going to bring some games for us. And I've seen videos online of people teaching their very young children how to play with the Wii. So we are going to be attempting to try that as well. But that's not what I came to talk to you about here. What I came to talk to you about is how you go about getting a Wii. Now, if you have a Target in your area, I strongly recommend that you actually frequent that one as opposed to some of the other ones out there. And believe me, I would love to be sponsored by Target, but it just isn't the case here. This is information straight from the heart, you know what I'm saying? So any of you prospective parents out there, prospective Wii owners out there, parents looking for it because it has to be under the tree or your kids won't love you, you know, whatever your bother or boggle seems to be with this, what I'd suggest you do is here. I was told how to get one guaranteed. What you do is you check in the circular for the different Target stores. I think you can even see them online for the weeks where they advertise the Nintendo Wii and the price that it's going to be. Then on that Sunday morning, you, or whatever day they say the sale starts, you go there before the store opens. They will have someone out there. Some of the people showed up at like 5 a.m. I showed up at 5 minutes to 7 and still got a Wii. I can't say what's going to happen in your area. You might want to do a little recon first. But what you do is you show up there before the store opens. They will give you a number. If they currently do get the machines in stock, they will give you a number. This will allow you to purchase the Wii. That is how you go about doing it. So far, that seems to be the most fair and balanced system that I've seen. So if you get a number, you don't even have to wait in line. If you show up at 5 a.m., get the numbers from the people, and then you can go get coffee or something like that. They will hold the machine until 9 o'clock. The store opens at 8 where I live, so they hold it until 9 a.m. So they'll hold it an hour for you. You don't even have to come back right as the store opens. I mean, I think it's great. However, it was kind of weird seeing all the people like running and pushing towards the counter, and then there were parents who were older than I am talking about the battle-scarred years for the Tickle Me Elmo, and I'm like, oh my god, I'm not looking forward to that. But still, if you were looking for a Wii, that's how you go about getting it. Alright, now the next thing we have up here in the caffeine section, I know I talked about this on the last one, but I actually found the article for it, so I wanted to put it out there. America's most caffeinated cities. I'm just going to give you the rundown, then tell you how irritated I am. Most caffeinated is Chicago, followed by Tampa, Florida, Miami, Florida, the Phoenix, Arizona, and then Atlanta, Georgia. The least caffeinated cities are San Francisco / Oakland, Philadelphia, New York, Detroit, and Baltimore. This is how you know the list is crap. First of all, when we went to San Francisco, every other corner of the city had some type of coffee eatery on it. Same thing with downtown Philadelphia. Philadelphia as a whole is a very caffeinated locale. There is coffee everywhere in the city. New York, again, you don't become the city that never sleeps by not imbibing caffeine. So they have a whole bunch of other things there. I actually have an article from over at energyfiend.com where I actually commented on it. I thought it was ridiculous, some of the stuff that they had out there. Cities most likely to say caffeine is bad for you. Number one's L.A., Riverside, San Bernardino's 2, San Francisco's number 3, New York's number 4, and Atlanta's number 5. At least Philadelphia's not on that list. Hopefully I've done my part as an active member in the Philadelphia caffeine community to scare us off that list. But then I also had the link to the study which is over at needcoffee.com. Not to be confused with ineedcoffee.com, where some of my recipes are. But so hopefully you'll find that interesting. I just wanted to give you a little heads up before we head on out here. Coffee tech to come. We're going to talk a little bit the how and the why. We've had some calls. When I originally started the show, I did a series of stuff about coffee, like how you make it, how people make instant coffee, what exactly is instant coffee, decaf versus caffeinated, how much, you know, is in each, how they go about decaffeinated things, what's the best thing for your health. So we're going to revisit those topics in a much more conversational tone. If you listen to Caffeination, pretty much Caffeination 1 through 14, some of the different topics had been covered. However, just a word of the wise, up until Caffeination 18, I could say whatever I wanted, however I wanted. That I was not yet a member of the Tech Podcast Network. I can still say whatever I want, but it's just I choose to become a part of the member of the Tech Podcast Network, so that's all child safe. So anything before that's not guaranteed to be PG, G, or anything. I can't remember exactly what I talked about, but enjoy that if you do see it. But all right, so that about wraps us up for this Sunday, the 11th of November, 2007. This has been Caffeination number 180, the Altered State Podcast. Whole bunch of babbling. Hopefully you got some good stuff out of today's show. Hey, if you think I should stay this way for the next couple shows, please feel free to let me know. All right, just want to give you a little rundown. Again, we are a proud member of the Tech Podcast Network. If it's tech, it's here. Also proudly listed over at blueberry.com. That's B-L-U-B-R-R-Y. It's a social podcasting network site, kind of like MySpace for podcasts. For any ways to get a hold of us, you can head on over to our website at www.caffeination.com. That's caffeination.com. Or you can email us at caffeination@gmail.com. We'd like to thank everybody for listening to this show. Thanks for listening, everybody, and stay caffeinated, people.